So good morning, everyone. I'd like to mention, if anyone who's listening is interested, make comments. You could either phone to our telephone, Yeshivas Tabayim Shalayim, this Rav Naskor Rav Horovitz, and the phone number is Jerusalem 6522817. Or you could send us a message by email. Our email is davardvar@davardvar.org.il. And the subject of this morning's talk is the meaning of Israel. So to understand the meaning of Israel, we have to turn to Genesis Bereshit, chapter 32, where the name Yisrael is given by a mysterious man, according to the simple meaning, a non-material power that wrestled with Yaakov. And has a very deep significance, as we started explaining in yesterday's shiur. And now I'm going to first explain it, a certain aspect of this, from an essay and a talk given by Rav Dessler on page 456 of the fifth volume of Michtam Eliyahu. Here you have a sheet in front of you. We'll now analyze the words given here, the sheet. The episode you can see in these verses, which we went over yesterday, and the most significant verses are in chapter 32, from verse 25, till the end of this chapter, verse 33. So, this is quite closely connected with the wider concept of angels, which are found throughout the Bible, throughout the Tanakh. Yolam ein kat shemala mekaleset shona. Any group of angelic beings from heaven do not praise and repeat the praise. Ela b'chol yom, every day, borei hakadosh baruch hu, kat shel malachim chadasha. The Holy One, blessed be He, creates every day a group of angels, a new group. Vein omrim shira chadasha lefanav, and they declare a new song in front of him, vorchim lehen, and then they disappear, Midrash says. So first let's understand this. We've explained that malach really comes from the root to send, la'ach. And to explain to you a bit more deeply, you find at the beginning of the Chumash, there's a description of Melacha. It says, on the seventh day, Hashem ceased mikol melachto asher asa, all the work that he did. Melacha means work, but it's not ordinary type of work. There are many words in Hebrew for work. There's avodah, service. Amal, toil. Melacha is a concept of sending a message into nature. When a human being does creative work, that's called a melacha, something creative. Hence the prohibition of Shabbat is to do anything that changes nature in one way or another. Because that's the essence, as it's described in the Chumash later, Melechet Mechashevet. Melacha means you put some thought in what you're doing. You've got some purpose in mind in what you're doing. While Amal means the toil and sweat when a person works hard. Avodah means servitude. It's a different aspect of work. So Malach, like Malacha, means putting a message into something. Therefore, the whole of creation of the world is really referred to as Melechet Shamayim V'aretz. Hashem created the world because the whole world is an expression of the mind of God. It's interesting, you'll find even in Steve Hawkins, some say it's the most brilliant mind in the scientific world, his major work. He said, the purpose of science is try to read the mind of God. It's understood more and more, the whole development of science is to demonstrate more and more the messages and the purposes that are discovered in nature. So this is the concept of Melacha. There's a purposeful aspect in every area. One of the most classical works from a previous generation, nevertheless, has had a great influence. One of the greatest biologists, Pierre Dunoy, wrote a work called Human Destiny. He was a great scientist in the laws of chance, and also a biologist. So there's so many aspects in biology and also in other areas of nature, natural science, where we see a purpose which goes against the concept of things being produced by chance. And the laws of chance would indicate that they are not applicable to many things in the world where there's a purposeful aspect introduced. So that's what he sees, the concept of the purpose of everything is also to some extent defined in later developments of science, the concept that most of things on this globe are intended to make it possible for human beings to exist. It's known as the anthropic interpretation of nature. Anthropos is the human being. We see that the human being is the purpose of creation on this globe in many ways. So this is the concept of Malacha. So a Malach is just the agent that fulfills a message. So nature is filled with agencies that fulfill the message of the Creator. This is the concept of the Malachim, the different forms of Malachim that exist. But there's also not just Malachim in the basic laws of nature. We find Malachim in history, in different happenings, especially happenings which demonstrate God's purposes for the human being. And this is the concept, although in the Chumash, with regard to the battle between Yaakov and this mysterious being, which was like apparently a wrestling match, Vayevek Ishimo Adonai Hashachar, all through the night. This is presented right in the middle of the confrontation between Yaakov and Esav. So here there's the deeper significance of this is understood, but thank you very much, it's understood by all the commentators, especially it's placed here right in the whole passage, which begins with how was Yaakov with his family who made trying to follow the covenant of Avraham Avinu, how could he deal with Esav, who had promised he's going to kill him? He said, I'm only waiting, he said in a previous passage in Bereshit, it says that Esav said, when my father Avraham, when my father Yitzchak will die, then I'm going to kill my brother. That was his purpose. And now, All right, Yaakov had been in Haran, had been a distance away, but now Yaakov is coming back to take hold of the inheritance of Eretz Israel, which was promised to him and his descendants. And Esau said, "Well, I'm the firstborn, and I hate my brother for having taken it away from me." That's what he said. "He took away from me," previous verse, "es bochorati lakach v'gamit bechati." He's taken away my birthright, and he's taken away the blessing from my father Yitzchak. And meanwhile, I've got strengthened also with having a partnership with Ishmael, so I want to destroy Yaakov. Then came this unusual night experience, and then it's followed by the way in which Yaakov was able to solve the hostility of Esau by giving him presents. And also, although Esau was very keen that they should come to some form of compromise, he should also have a part in the land of which is promised to Abraham Avinu for his descendants. But Esau, it says, he settled. He recognized Yaakov has no real hostile intentions against him. He doesn't want to bring curses on him in any way. He's very friendly towards him and gives him many presents. And he tried ways where he might be able to destroy him, but he saw miraculously he wasn't able to do it. So he left him alone and he went on his path. And what is mentioned here is that it's true, Esav is stronger than Yaakov. In the lifetime, Esau had a large area in Seir, and he developed his army and everything. And Yaakov, at that time, he just still regarded himself as a stranger in the land of Canaan, to a great extent. And he was able to live there without settle down with his tribes without disturbing anyone. He saw also that Yaakov did not approve of the violence, so that later the violence of two of his sons were more violent. So he left him alone. Now this passage in between is a description of the ultimate situation. Yaakov really means that he is at the heel of Esav. Esav is the stronger power and Yaakov is the weaker power. There'll come a time, however, when Yisrael will become the stronger power. Because it turns out, Tzarosh el Esav, this Malach was regarded as being one who described the future. As we see, Bereshit altogether describes the future of the people of Israel, especially in their relationship with mankind. So this is the concept that the name here was given in the name of Hashem through this Malach, the new name. He's no longer Yaakov, which means you're at the heel of Esau. You reach the level when you'll be Israel, when the world will recognize that you are the representative of God, the true moral God for mankind, and that He rules the world. So this is therefore the description, a deeper description. This mysterious Ish who wrestled with Yaakov was a Malach. And what Malach was? It says, when Yaakov was able to hold down Esav, the Tzarosh el Esav, he held him down, he held down this Malach. Then the Malach said to him, "Please let me go, ki alah shachar. Let me go, I fulfilled my mission. I've got to disappear. I've got to go. because the dawn has arisen. So the Midrash says, this is an example of Michael and Gabriel, the two angels mentioned in later books of the Tanakh, like in the book of Daniel in his visions. It is Michael and Gabriel, angelic beings. Shem Serafim Shalmala, these are angelic beings of fire from heavenly dimension. Kula mitchalfim ve'inan lerchal. All other angels, they change over. They have something to fulfill one time, and then they finish their divine service and they disappear. But Michael and Gabriel, they always remain. Now, Michael and Gabriel are referred to as the power of Chesed, who is like you unto Hashem, Gabriel, who is mighty like Hashem. So there's a power of might which has to be used sometimes, material powers that limit the outgoing power of loving kindness. Michael is the constant flow of love. Gabriel are the limitations of the power of love. These are powers that don't change, they keep on. How do you understand this? So it's a hidden yadua, it is known, shekol inin malachim ushlichut. A malach, as we've already explained, is a messenger. And the angels are messengers of Hashem. And what are they? To understand it completely, we can't, because we don't live in the heavenly dimension. We live in the material dimension, but we have an aspect of insight into the spiritual powers through the power of our own spirit. So the aspect that we can understand is that they have a shlichut, a mission, to teach human beings avodat Hashem. It says there are two ways of coming near to Hashem. Shtei derachim yesh, itkarvut el Hashem. Derech chitzonit v'derech pnimit. In other words, these powers we talk about, we can approach them, try to approach them from the aspect of the mystical, theological aspect. But that is something which is, to understand it clearly, not possible until we come to the spiritual dimension without the body. But there is a way of understanding all descriptions of the world above in heaven in terms of what lies deep down in the soul of man. To understand this passage here from Rav Tesler, I'll tell you a common saying of his in his talks. We speak about the word Le'ela, the word of world above. So he says the world above, that means above the dimensions of time, space and matter, is a spiritual world. So he says it's also the world deep down inside us. So deep down inside the human being, he has a soul. And the soul is at work in the subconscious mind. And this concept is developed also by some modern psychologists such as Viktor Frankl in his work, The Unconscious God. In other words, that God's being, it's termed in the Chumash, the Neshama. Neshama means breath. But it's not the breath of man, it's the breath of Hashem, as it were. That means each human being, we have our bodily self, and we have functions in the body, including also the human mind, the human brain. With our brain we can do all sorts of actions in the physical world. But there's a deeper aspect of the human being which is even pure spirit. So in the morning also, when we get up, we thank Hashem for the soul, and then we make two major blessings after washing the hands. What's the first one? Asher yatzar et Adam. We thank Hashem who's given us such a fantastic body, bodily functions. And we know if there's something, slightest thing goes wrong, it won't work. Hashem, the more that a person examines the physical aspects of the human body, the more he's filled with gratitude and wonder at the miracle of the human body, which contains so many different miraculous aspects. So that's the body. Then afterwards we say a blessing, you've given me a soul also. The soul is an essential part of the human being, but it's more hidden, deep down. The work in a hidden way. So we speak about the world above, it's also the world deep inside. And therefore also, when we're given illustrations in the whole of the Tanakh of what goes on in heaven and how Hashem sends out angels, then we have to understand it, that this is given to us to teach us how to serve Hashem. Because there are two ways. One is external and one is internal. Derech Yitzolit v'Ribbeniyah. Derech Yitzolit y'behagash v'itpalot. The external way to come near to Hashem is through our feelings and through our excitement. Ve'ilu doshim dav kechidush. In order to be emotionally aroused to activity also, you need novelty. And how is novelty shown to us? How is the novelty of creation shown to us? That is the concept of being excited by the miracles which we see around us. This is taught to us, Hamalachim Shnivraim Mechadash B'chol Yom Rak Kedei Lomar Shira Chadasha. There are angels which are created day by day to declare a new song. It's worth our while to be created, even if it's only to say one song of being excited with the wonder of the world in front of Hashem. And on that the Midrash says, we have this verse, which we're going to, in the morning we say, Moedani Lefanecha, Melech Chai V'Kayom, Shechazata Bi Nishmati, Bechemla Rabbi Munatecha. This is the first word we say when we wake up. It's very interesting, in a recent conference of major psychologists in America, they came from, it's also dealing with questions of psychological health. So they said that they came to a conclusion through our investigations that when a person wakes up, he should not jump out of bed because it can create problems, psychological and physical problems of blood pressure. You shouldn't jump out of bed. You should count till 12. Count till 12 and then get up. So one psychologist gets up and he says, we have in our tradition when you wake up, Moide ani lefonecho mele chai v'kayom shechazata bi nishmati b'chemla rab emunatecha. We say 12 words in the morning when we get up. An ancient Jewish tradition. These words. It's the first thing. And these days you've got the beautiful, one of the most beautiful songs of Shlomo Carlebach. It is Moedan Nilfanecha. I don't have the voice for it at present, but I'm sure you've heard it. And that's how we get up in the morning. Now this verse is made up of the word you find at page 872 in the Jerusalem Bible, Pasuk in Lamentation, Echaz. Middle of the Lamentations, we nevertheless say, we thank you, Hashem, for giving us a beautiful soul. And the soul is renewed every day. Chadashim Labakarim. It's supposed to, the Moed Ani we say is not a complete verse. But it's based upon this verse in Lamentation chapter 3, verse 28. You find Jerusalem Bible 872. And there's it, Chadashim Labakarim. Renewal every day. Great is your faithfulness. So Hashem gives us every day anew to look at the world anew. It's connected a little bit with when the sages say that sleep is 1/60th of death. When we're asleep, what's also referred to in the tefillah, we say that Hashem is Mekayim Munatoli Sheinei Afar. He fulfills his faithfulness to those who sleep in the dust. The concept of resurrection of the dead is that we know, even today also, a person, unfortunately, can fall into a coma, and when he's in the coma, he has no physical life, but he does have a spiritual life. He has all sorts of experiences of his spirit when he's in the coma, as can be shown from many who have been fortunate enough to wake up from the coma. When they wake up from the coma, it's a new life. Meanwhile, the coma, some of them have had all sorts of experiences of a spiritual nature. So this, we go through this procedure in a more limited fashion every time we go to sleep. Because the power of the soul is in the depth of the subconscious mind. It's the unconscious God. But we come back to full life in the morning. And therefore, in the morning, we are filled with fantastic world that surrounds us. Yeah? Children feel this as well. Children wake up in the morning and they see beautiful sunshine that they didn't see before. They forgot what the beautiful sunshine looks like. Or they get up in the morning and they find beautiful snow they've never seen before. And the purpose, to some extent, of our prayers is to look at the world anew every day. Like a child does, to some extent, the wonder that you see in the eyes of the child, because the child experiences new things almost every day. When we become old, we fall into a routine, which I've seen it all before. See, so the tefillah tells us, don't go and make it a routine, but try and see the newness. It says, so this is Palot, Chadashim Labakarim Rabbi Munatecha, which means, Al Shiata Mechacheinu V'chol Boker Boker, because every day you give us this awareness of the world around us, we know that your faithfulness is great. But the sages say, the Midrash says, your faith is great, l'haklut lanu tamitim, you create the revival of the dead. Because she'ina achad mishishim lemita, sleep is 1/60th of death. And really, we can ask, Eich yakum adam mechudas mechudas shena. After sleep, a person arises and he's renewed. He gets renewed strength and he's strengthened. The shena is connected with shinui. That means renewal. Like shena is the renewal. Shena is a renewal. So therefore, sleep creates a renewal. But Adarama, from a logical point of view, if we say sleep is 1/60th of death, so therefore we should become weakened. But it isn't so. Shadav HaPelehu. הכוח בא מלמעלה, מדרך הטבע. This power renewal comes from a supernatural level. And the same applies also Bisa Mamash. Death itself is a restful period which brings about renewal. Hameviyo hitchatshut b'tchiyat hametim, which means renewal with the resurrection of the dead. So we say this is, let's say, an external aspect. Why is it external? Because it's based upon the renewal of the consciousness and the renewal of the use of all our senses. We get up in the morning. At night, we're up. We're not unconscious entirely, but for all activities, we're of the human body, where we can be active instead of just passive. It's a time that goes to nothing, would appear, but doesn't. It's the way in which the whole backside of the body needs that rest, that's the rhythm of life, in order to be strengthened for the next day. This is the purpose of the tefillot, of thanksgiving to Hashem, to recognize it's a constant chesed, constant loving kindness that Hashem gives to us, to give us this power of renewal. But it's still, what he calls this is an external malach. Because the malach makes sure that we can go and do more chesed. As we say, lagid v'apokei chasdecha v'emunatcha v'alilot. In the morning we get up and we're given the loving kindness of Hashem to act out our loving kindness, to do active loving kindness, to be creative with our body and our mind in every way, and to do good to other people and to the whole world around us. At night time, that's the time when we learn to trust in Hashem. Hashem, I see he really wants us to get this period of renewal, of desisting from its activity, in order to start anew. And every day is a new malochem. Any questions before we go into this a bit more deeply about the inner approach? Please, if you have any questions, you can ask them now. If not, so we'll continue with the next piece, because it's interrelated. Haderech hapnimit, however, the inner aspect of the human being is to reach a high level of closeness to Hashem and tikkun amidot, to put right the characteristics which govern our conscious life, adei mabat ha'emet, by looking at the world of man, from an aspect of truth, of ultimate moral truth, v'shavai lalev, and to bring to our heart the closeness of Hashem, k'dev lavo el harishma, to come to the level when we do things for the purpose of reaching closeness to Hashem, to veikut to Hashem. That's the concept of lishma, do things for their own sake. This did not require seeing things anew. It does not require novelty. But as far as the character of a person is concerned, then whatever comes over him repeatedly, constantly, this strengthens him. How do best way to understand this is not from good midot, but from bad midot. Because bad midot, we see it happening all the time. The essence of human life is the struggle between good and evil, which is also the struggle between moral truth and moral falsehood. And every person is given opportunities to exercise his unique human power of freedom in order to raise his character to a high level. And in order to do that, one has to constantly repeat. He gives the example, שמתחזק ומתקבל על ריבוי התקפות ועוזרות. We know the evil inclination becomes stronger and stronger through constant repetition. But constant repetition of something evil will ultimately make that evil to rule its character. Similarly also, constant repetition of the good will make its good qualities stronger. So here it's not novelty that changes. It is repetition that changes. He gives the example, I just like to give the example because he had a battle with it. He said, is smoking. Yeah, so I mentioned already before. The first time a person smokes, or let's speak what is worse, smoking drugs. Right? The teenagers, so somebody comes along and says, you know, why don't you try this drug? You'll be able to feel happier. Person is sad, on top of many people depressed, they take drugs. Take weak drugs, then they have a craving for stronger drugs. And the more they take them, they become drug addicts. They can even come to the level when they destroy their brains for drug addiction. It can happen the other way as well. So he gives this example. Why? Because the evil inclination works inside the feelings of the person, inside his heart, like an inner desire. Similarly also, to serve Hashem, you have to repeat it. To put a strong desire into the heart. I think for this I would give the example of a person's got a miserly nature. He doesn't like to give. Or he doesn't like to help other people. So that's why the Torah says, I'll give the example of charity. The Torah says, Patoativ, keep on giving. And giving and giving, you have to do it. Even if you don't like to do it, because it'll change you to become a giver instead of a taker. Well, the example given, it's clear, the way it's given, at the beginning of the giving of the Torah, in the Pasuk Mishpatim, straight off the Ten Commandments, there it says that if your enemy's animal, even your enemy's animal, someone you don't like, what does it interpret, someone you don't like, his animal collapses, then you've got to help the animal of your friend, of your enemy, to keep on helping. And then it says there as well, Hakim Takim, got to keep on him, Azov Tazov Imo, got to keep on helping him. It says, even, it's not the animal, they help for Kalvachoma, much more so, if someone you don't like falls down, you've got to keep helping him. And then you can learn to like him. The same passage is mentioned also near the end of the Chumash. Only there, the person who was an enemy becomes a brother. In other words, because you've got something you don't like, you should reach the level to fulfill all the mitzvot that you will like anyone. There won't be people you don't like anymore. Because those you didn't like before, you've learned to like them by helping them, by fulfilling all the mitzvot again and again. And that's the concept of changing. Also, a miserly person to become a giver. If you've got a miserly quality in yourself, go the other way. You've got to give more. That's how you change it. And who teaches us that? The fixed malachim. Michael and Gabriel, the qualities of chesed, the qualities of gvura. So it says, the angelic's hierarchy mentioned in some of the later prophets, explicitly described in all the Midrashim and the Torah, refer to constant ways Hashem uses to show us, Michael means that you follow the quality of Chesed, and that's a constant malach. Hashem is sending him all the time to us this power of Chesed, because you've got to do Chesed again and again, until you become more or less addicted to Chesed. It's a good thing. But children become so addicted that you don't control it. Neither are parents, when it comes to their children, they're addicted to Chesed. They'll do anything the children want because they love them so much. For the children have so much love, so they'll spoil them. And even all the children, they want to eat a lot of candies and sweet things, so they become sick. Children can't keep the times when they eat and what they eat. The parents have to be strong also, have to have gevurah. Because we are given the malach Michael and concept of me is always to go further and further in kindness, to find out the real identity of Hashem Michael, who is like you, and Hashem Mikamocha, Hashem is Michael, because the Aleph Lamed is the quality of Chesed. But sometimes in the name of Chesed you've got to have Gevurah, Gavriel. Gavriel means you've got to have discipline. Parents have to be disciplinarians as well, because they'll be too kind to the children. The children will take their parents for granted, and they think whatever they want their parents will give them, and then afterwards they think, whatever I want everybody's got to give me, because I become accustomed to be the recipient of constant love, and I expect it from everybody. If I don't get it, then I'll say nasty things to them. So therefore the parents and educators have to also apply Gevura, and a person's got to apply it to himself, to his own things that he likes to do too much. So he's got to control himself. He's got to exercise self-discipline. So this is why these two malachim are there all the time. Even he goes further, he says, they constantly are constant powers in the human soul. Now he says, in order to improve one's service of Hashem, there are two paths. The path of Chassidut, which has as its flag Hadogelet, which concentrates upon in service of Hashem to be filled with emotion and excitement, with a great deal of getting a spirit of renewal through song, through very lively tefillah, and the Derech HaMusa, which is at the beginning, you've got to influence the heart. It's got a Ptichat HaLev, you've got to open the heart. V'yachra cheshbon ha-nefesh shebifnim ha-lev. And then you've got to work it out within, deep within your conscience, with premeditated thought, how to deal with each situation in an inner manner. So this is in general terms, you could say, Michael and Gavriel, that Chassidut concentrates more upon Chesed, and Musa concentrates more upon discipline. Discipline your life, make Cheshbon HaNefesh, day by day. And really, it says you need both. The combination of both, because really it's a question more of emphasis. And person in his life needs to use both methods, both of Gevurah, which consists of discipline, but He's got to be inspired and gain a spirit of constant renewal of love in all his activities. Do you have any questions? So, but Rav Dessler here is dealing with the concept of these malachim and what they represent, and he based it on the struggle between Yaakov and Esau. So, behind all this is as follows: that the individual struggle between the soul of Yaakov and the soul of Esau also has to do with the fact that Esau and Amalek, movements of materialism and hatred, and movements that want to limit the conscience, it's not that these movements only exist in relationships between nations. They also exist in the heart of every person. And therefore, the sages say that the battle between Yaakov and Sarosh el Esau was to some extent the struggle in the soul of Yaakov himself. That means he had a good part to him, which was close to Hashem, but he also had a Yitzhara. Every person's given on his level an inclination for asserting his self, for making of his own self great. And this is indicated, says the Bnei Israel are not supposed to eat the Gidol Nasheh, the sinew of the thigh. The thighs give us the ability to walk forward in life. To walk forward in life, we've got a material self, a material body. So, Yaakov went also through many situations of being pursued by Lavan, pursued by Esau, he was pursued also inwardly by the troubles he had with Yosef and the brothers. And he had to reach the level when his Yetzirah Tov would rule entirely over his Yetzirah. And that gave him the new name, Israel. Israel means each individual has got to, as a part of the people of Hashem, has got to teach himself to recognize, the sages say, that his Yetzer HaTov has to rule over his Yetzer Ra. He's got to recognize that life is a struggle. A person shouldn't think, I'm already a saint. Once he thinks, I'm already a saint, he's already allowing the Yetzara of self-centeredness to enter into his life. So the great tzaddikim that exist, that we know about in our generation or previous generation, we shouldn't think that it was easy for them, and it's even easy for them to remain tzaddikim on their level in front of Hashem. Because the sages say, "Kol ha-gadol mi-chaviro yitzchok gadol mimenu." The greater a person is, the greater, the higher level, Hashem will bring him into situations being tested. In other words, underneath, inside, you really mean it for yourself, l'shem shamayim, l'shem atzmecha, for yourself to be great, or are you really doing it for Hashem? So each person is given tests at his level. And also, the whole people of Yaakov, all of Am Yisrael, they also have a power of Esav within the people. Not only the nation, the majority of the nation, could be externally subservient to the Yetzirah Tov, but the Yetzirah is working hard at them as well, to weaken them. It's not just a confrontation between the people of Israel and the other nations that is represented by this struggle. The struggle is within the nation. Are you going to be Yaakov? Are you going to remain at the heel of Esav? And the powers of Esav have entered also into your national constitution? Or are you going to follow the other way and become stronger? And get the Yetzer Hara to agree that you have the name Yisrael. You know, like all the evil angels that come to test the people of Israel also. They say before the Mashiach comes, the Satan, that means the power of evil, the Yetzer Hara, will attack the people of Israel even more than the nations. And they'll attack the learned ones amongst the people of Israel more than the ignorant ones. They'll come. You create a spirit, you're going to say, create a spirit of who's greater, you know, amongst the different groups who consider themselves religious. And then the leaders also have arguments one with the other. It's all referred to by the sages as the power of the Yetzer Hara, which is struggling with the Yetzer Hatov. So therefore, we find also in the Tanakh, where we find interchange with the name Yaakov and Yisrael. Yisrael is when the people of Israel have a good, great zechut, great merit. The power of good is stronger than evil in this wrestling match. And his name is Yaakov when he is still at the heel of Esav. That means he's being overpowered by the forces of evil, not the forces of good. So, ultimately, it says he's given the name Yisrael, and even the Yetzer Hara blesses him. The ultimate situation is Hashem has created the Yetzer Hara. He's created the Satan, but he's still a creature of Hashem, and he's sent in order to put us through the test so that we reach a higher level. When we reach that higher level, we're able to overcome all the tests. Then the dawn of the redemption will come. And that's the metaphor that's used already in the Chumash and later by the prophets. That's the night of Galut and the dawn of redemption. And the battle, we know the night is darkest just before the dawn. And that's the situation today. Today, in some ways, when we're after, let's say, there can always be miracles, but what's happened today in the world is terrible, with the movements of hatred, which are involved also with the gathering relapse into Holocaust experiences, or preparation for Holocaust experiences. We're in a very difficult situation, and democracy is disappearing in many areas, and movements of hatred are taking over, and it's very risky for mankind in the time of the development of most deadly weapons. But I think we should take comfort from the last words of the last prophet, where he says that Zichur Torah Moshe describes the situation, and the last words are, lest I come and destroy the earth with complete destruction. Penavo v'ket kol ha'aretz chedam. And what will save that? But pen means we don't want it to happen. But when we live in an age when from a natural point of view, mankind is racing to its destruction, when we see unless there's going to be ND, there's going to be END. So we are told by the last prophet that the spirit of Teshuvah will change everything. So that's what, especially the tshuva of Am Yisrael. So that's the important message of the prophets for our time. That's the very great importance of the name Israel. All this contained in the name Israel. If you could answer it more deeply. Any questions?
I have an idea for a class. You were talking about the differences between the Musar school and the Hasidut school.
Yes.
I don't think it can be resolved in just a few moments, but I think it would be interesting to have a discussion on the differences between the two and maybe the history and things like that.
Okay. All right. Whatever it is. Let's see.